Father, I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would bend in that direction. God, I pray, Lord, as you've called us, that our call is that deep and that heavy, and it's that wide, and it's that big, and it's that scary, and it's all of those things that just freak us out about what you really have called us to do and intend for our lives to be about. This morning, God, I just pray, Lord, that we could just get a glimpse of you for a moment in the midst of glorifying you and singing to you. God, I pray, Lord, that we could come close to you for just a few moments in your word and just see what that looks like for us. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. You have a seat. There are moments in life where God just kind of gets a hold of you. And I don't know if this is this way for you. I'm just speaking on my relationship with the Lord. But I can speak for, there have been moments in my life where God has just gotten a hold of me. And he has wrung me out, for lack of better terms. I mean, just wrung me out. And the staff and I went to Atlanta this weekend for a conference. And while we were there, I've just got to admit to you that God wrung me out. And this is not what we were going to do today. And just kind of coming out of that, I just kind of had to look at God and go, you don't want us to do what we plan to do today. And the thing that really is speaking to my heart, the thing that is really resonating with me right now that I want to just bring down to you where you're at this morning, and hopefully God can speak through this, is this one word. And it's probably the hardest word that we will ever strive for. It's the hardest word that we will ever learn what it truly means, other than holy. We've been there on that one. But as far as for us and our lives and something that God has called us to, and it's the word humility. And for us as God's people, he's called us to this word. He has called us so openly, that 1 Peter, and we don't have any scripture on the screen today, and I'll say something about that here in just a minute, but 1 Peter 5:5 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The crazy thing about humility, you know, is, you know, if I say I'm humble, then am I humble? If I think I'm humble, am I humble? And you know, and here's this phrase that many of us have used a lot is in my humble opinion. Well, is your opinion really humble if you say in my humble opinion? And I'd like to throw that on you right now. You know, I think for so many of us, it's one of those things that it's a word that we've heard a lot of, but we don't think a lot about. And we don't think a lot about it because our society does not want us to think a lot about this word. This word is the opposite of everything that we see in every advertisement that we will ever watch on TV or see on a billboard. Because all of those things say, life is about you and you need to go and you need to get yours. And here's this and you need this to be happy and all that stuff. And you know the drill with all that. But God has called us to this thing called humility. I was about 17 years old, and her name was Christina. And I had met Christina at a friend's birthday party. We had this, there was this girl that we went to church with, and it was like, you know, she had all these friends. She went to a different school. You know how this is, like, grass is greener on the other side kind of deal. And, you know, she went to another school, and so, like, anytime she had a swim party, we were there. You know, not because we wanted to date our friend, but because we wanted to date our friend's friends. And she'd always have a bunch of friends come from school. And this girl, and I'm not going to say her whole name, but I'm pretty sure she probably wouldn't even remember who I am. I asked her out, and she said yes, amazingly. And you got to know something, you know, even back then, I was a gearhead. I was so into cars. And my first car, the car that I had at that time in my life, was a 67 Chevelle. And it was marina blue and had SS Kragers on it. It had too many doors, but it was still a cool car for a first car. And so, I'm rolling around in this thing, and I just think I'm the junk in this car, And I go to Christina's house to pick her up. She has never seen my car, and I'm thinking the whole way there, I have spit shined this thing that day. I mean, it is looking good. And I'm pulling up to her house, and I'm thinking, man, she is going to be so about this car. And she's going to be so happy to ride in this car. And, man, she is so lucky to ride my car. And I get there, and I go up, and I knock on the door. And Christina comes to the door, and it was almost like this was a usual drill for her. And as she invited me inside and I met her parents, I began to realize this is a usual drill for her. She is used to introducing young men to her parents. This is not something abnormal for her at all, because where I was nervous about meeting them, they are completely fine. And even at the ripe age of 16, 17, whatever she was at the time, it was not a thing in the world for them. And so I go outside, and she comes out, and she gets in the car, and the whole way we're walking to the car, I mean, she's got this long driveway, and my car is sitting down there, and you can see it, like, coming out her front door, and we're walking down the driveway to where I'd parked the car in this little parking area they had, because it's a pretty swank place they had there, and we go down the driveway, and we're going to my car, and I'm just waiting for her to say, "What an incredible automobile." And we get down to my car, and she has not said a word, not about the car anyway. I don't remember. She probably was yakking about something. And we get in the car. I open the door for her. We get in the car, and then we start to drive off. I get in, we start the car, and we start to drive off. And the windows are down, because this is a 67 Chevelle. This is not, a 92 Honda Accord, okay? And so... the first words out of her mouth, "Does your car not have air?" I was ready to kick her out of that car. But I realized something that evening. I realized I've met my match. There is someone out there with a bigger head than me about something. There is somebody out there, and I have met my match. And there is no way that I'm going to beat this today. She couldn't have cared more about that car, that date, that night, the money I spent on her, any of it, than anything in the world. It was shortly after that I really began to understand what humility is. And that humility, in God's eyes, is putting God before us in everything that we do. It's putting, and to follow with that, as we see the example set by Jesus Christ, that it is putting Christ first in everything that we do. That's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to put people before us. It's a tough thing to put God before us, because we are selfish people. We want what we want, and we want it now. But God has called us to humility. You say, "Well, Chris, what's this? Why is this so important? You're not going to preach today, right?" Right. This is why this is important this morning. It's important because our pride, our egos, get in the way of who God wants to be in our lives many times. You see, humility is the cure for pride. It is the thing that kills pride. Knocks it for a loop. When we get to the point in our lives where we even can see in Scripture in Luke 18 where it says, "Lord, have mercy on me, I am a sinner." And right after that passage of Scripture, Jesus looks at that man who said, "Lord, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me." Jesus looks at him and he says, "You are humble." You see, when we can get to that point where we are willing to recognize our faults, to recognize our sin, and just go before God and go, "God, you're it. I'm not. You. It's you. And God, I want you to rule me. I want you to be the Lord of my life." Probably one of the most humbling passages of Scripture that I haven't looked at in a long time, but I got to look at this weekend. And I love this passage of Scripture, and it's been a long time since I've taught out of it. And I just want to share it with you this morning. If nothing humbles you, then this should humble you. This should humble you. And it's out of the book of Jeremiah. And it just says this, and again, just listen to these words. It's not on the screen, just listen to this. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I heard that passage this weekend and it just came over me. And it just proved to me that my life is not Chris's life. Not even close. It's his life and he's given it to me and I'm a manager for the time. And what God wants me to do with that is to understand that he has set me apart to do something for him. And he wants that for every single one of us this morning. Would you just pray with me for just a moment? God, our response to hearing that this morning, our response to that is, we love you. God, our response to that is, thank you, God. Thank you for being in charge. Thank you for knowing what's going on and having a clue, because God, a lot of days we don't. God, I pray, Lord, that our response this morning would be just a response of praise. God, that as we sing to you, God, that the words on our lips would not just be because there's a band up here singing and playing. That we don't raise our hand, God, to you for a show. God, that we want to humble ourselves before you because, God, you're it and we're not. You're it and we're not. God, we want to put you first. We want our lives to resonate as a life of one that is humble in your eyes, not in men's eyes, but in your eyes. So, God, we just pray for that. And, God, as we worship you, God, I pray, Lord, that we would just worship you in that. Lord, you are amazing. You are awesome. Thank you, Lord. How beautiful the blood. You can have a seat. So, if we know that God has set us apart, if we know that there is some reason, and I just got to tell you, I really struggle with this because just even here lately, and Aaron and I just recently had a discussion about, you know, do you think that God has just this one thing, this one plan? And Jeremiah later in this book is very clear that there's a plan. But I've always been a little fuzzy. Is it like one thing? And at times I've thought, you know, well, you know, maybe he just gives us opportunities to allow us to choose. And maybe it's like, you know, several different good things that we could choose from. And it might be this or it might be that. But, you know, it doesn't matter as long as it glorifies God. And I don't have the answer, by the way. But in this passage of Scripture, Jeremiah is very clear when he says these words. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And he set Jeremiah apart to be a prophet, and we read that there. And just in knowing that, and just in understanding that, if we forget humility, then whatever it was that we've been set apart to do, whatever it was that was like the grand scheme of something beyond some things that we could have never, ever, ever imagined for our lives, if we forget humility, then we might as well wipe the slate of those things that God has for us. And as God has those things for us to understand that as we miss that, if we don't humble ourselves before God, then we'll never experience true worship. You know what happens? You know what happens when we humble ourselves before God? When we draw close to God and our heart starts to beat the same as His, then out of us will pour the things of God. We will desire to serve Him. I've just recently begun to understand that there's several folks in our church that probably think that, you know, even just in our volunteer ministries, that everything is taken care of, that we don't need anybody else's help, which is far from the truth. But one thing that you will rarely hear us say is that we just really have to have you to do this. We have several needs. We have huge needs right now for volunteers. But I'm a big fan of people coming to the place in their life where they grow spiritually enough that they go, you know what, God, I want to serve you. I want to go help set that thing up on Saturday nights. I don't want the band to have to do it by themselves. I want to help take care of those 2 through 5-year-olds. I don't want there to only be 1 or 2 adults with them on a Sunday when there's 20 of the kids. God, I want to do that. I desire to serve you. I desire to glorify you. See, when we humble ourselves, our hearts begin to change. We look at everything differently. We look at our money differently. We look at the things that God has given us differently. And we remember that we are managers of this life and these things. We started this church to go somewhere and reach people that otherwise probably would have gone unreached. We humble ourselves before God. That mission of reaching those people will absolutely pour, I mean pour, out of us in a way that we've never experienced, us crying out for the lost. I ask the band to sing this song that they're about to do because of that. It's a reminder of what God has called us to do. It's a reminder of us to go and be there and humble ourselves before the Lord so that we would carry out what He has called us to do. It's an amazing thing. Now, I want you just bow your heads, close your eyes for just a second. They're going to begin to play this thing and sing this thing. And I want to just pray over us just to prepare us for this moment. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would be ready for you. I pray, Lord, that we would be ready, God, to say, God, I know you've set me apart and I've not been following you. And God, therefore, I'm not fulfilling the very plan that you created me to fulfill. But God, I want to do that starting right now. God, ring me out. Ring me out. God, I'm yours. I do not want to be my own. Lord, just speak into our hearts. Your truth, your word.